Next on BYUSN, say hello to the Big 12 men's basketball scheduling matrix in a few moments. Which teams are visiting the Marriott Center? We'll discuss it with former Cougar Eric Mika. And has the tater tot king, Richie Saunders, become the forgotten man for BYU hoops? We discuss John Rothstein's recent comments.
Fresh off another first-team All-American performance, Danny Bryan joins us from Eugene. And has Zach Wilson finally found a spot where he can succeed?
Going to Miami. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, June 12th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who believes he could break 150 at Oakmont Country Club in the U.S. Open, Jerem Jordan.
I've never made such a claim. I've never claimed I could run a certain speed in the 40 at Oakmont at
4-9.
The U.S. Open. Many pros were asked on tour, what do you think an 18 handicap would shoot at Oakmont, just outside of Pittsburgh? And many were saying 110, 120, some 150, due to the rough being reportedly up to 5 inches long, which is crazy. Doesn't sound like a lot of fun to play. I'm not sure why a course exists with this situation. To be different, what's the point of this? Mm. Is anyone having fun when they play Oakmont? Dan Patrick talked this week about, I barely finished. I wish it was 13 holes.
There were some guys under par through 8 or 9 holes this morning, 3 under, 4 under. So apparently,
did you say through 18?
The pros are figuring it out.
Are they? I don't see what the point of a course like that is.
Could it still be fun if you shoot 112? Maybe. I don't know.
Ultimately, they're about like order, not score, but that plays into order. I don't know. It just seems weird that this would exist. It'd be like a baseball field where the center field was 500 feet away, the wall. It's like, what's the point of that?
You want to test yourself against the toughest courses in the country, perhaps? We'll see. This is the United States Open.
To what end?
It is what they do.
Why is the U.S. Open always the tough one where it's crazy? Like, why the distinction? We like distinction around here, but not like that.
Yeah, why do they want to be the toughest? Because they do, clearly. That is the deal there.
Yeah, I don't get it, honestly. I don't get it.
This program...
Is this a U.S. Open Sports Nation? What is this?
This program invites everyone of all handicaps on the golf course. We don't push anyone out. If your handicap's 30, it's 45. There's no requirement to break 110. Just join us for the program because we have much to discuss, including the Big 12 schedule matrix. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
BYU was scheduling for a top seed in the NCAA tournament.
BYU men's basketball will play Arizona, Texas Tech, and Utah twice in Big 12 play.
BYU should accept nothing less than the Final Four in 2026.
We know who BYU will play in their 2026 Big 12 rundown. Technically, it's the 2025-2026 season, but you get what I'm saying. In Big 12 play, primarily 2026, your reaction, Jerem, to the Big 12 scheduling matrix. We know who BYU will play twice.
Let's talk about it.
Now you see the full rundown. BYU gets Arizona, Utah, and Texas Tech twice, and then everybody else once. And you have to break up the remaining teams for road games. You only play them once on the road, and then you get the remainder on your home floor. So what's your immediate reaction to this?
Let's tell the people the home only, the road only. So home only is Arizona State, Colorado, Houston, Iowa State, TCU, UCF. Away only, Baylor, Cincinnati, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, West Virginia. And the three that you play twice are Arizona, Texas Tech, and Utah, as reported by John Rothstein yesterday and now official from the Big 12. So here's my reaction. Arizona twice is great. This was one of the games I wanted twice. I'm excited about that. I loved the two games that they played. They were competitive down the wire, interesting games. I think there's a regional element to that. I think there's sort of a budding rivalry in the Big 12 with Arizona, which is cool. I was hoping for Kansas or Houston, frankly, as the other. I talked to some people. They said, I want nothing to do with Houston. I want this team to do something with Houston because I think this team can hang with Houston, which would be really fun. But it's not. But Houston is coming to the Marriott Center, which is great. I was hoping, to continue to have Baylor maybe twice too, but Rob Wright III at Baylor. That'll be fun.
Oh, boy.
That'll be fun. That's walking into a snake pit a bit. BYU's 2-0 versus Kansas streak on the line when they go to Fog Allen Fieldhouse yet again. Utah, of course, would be one of the three. At West Virginia 3 years in a row. I don't understand that one. That Cincinnati-West Virginia road trip will happen again for BYU. A little odd for me. And then I look at the whole schedule and I go, okay, is BYU going to go 14-6 or better again? The answer is yes. It's a tough Big 12. This team can certainly equal or better what last year's team did. So I can't wait. We don't have dates and TV, but we know opponents now. And we know all but one either reported or published opponent now, which is still TBD. So we know 30 of the 31 games. Can't wait, man.
Again, remember, the BYU and every Big 12 team is moving from a 20-game conference schedule to 18 games. So instead of playing five teams twice, you play three teams twice. I wish that BYU could face the likes of Kansas twice and maybe Baylor or Iowa State twice. But, again, that's not the case now. BYU has more opportunities to ramp up their non-conference schedule, which they have done. And I'm not going to be super picky, but if I could make one change here, because I like it pretty much overall, I would probably switch out Texas Tech for another shot at, because I love the rivalry, Iowa State. I think the rivalry with Iowa State is fantastic.
They played some great games.
Last year, two unforgettable matchups, one in Ames and the other in the Big 12 tournament. So the idea of BYU being able to host Iowa State and then go back and play there at Hilton Coliseum, like the Marriott Center and Hilton Coliseum.
Marriott versus Hilton. I know, it's not that Hilton.
Those, but in recent years, there's an argument that those are the two toughest places to play in the Big 12, you know, along with the Fertitta Center of Houston. But
I would argue that's number one. But Kansas used to be tough to win.
Apparently that is not the case anymore. BYU did it a couple of years ago,
yeah.
So
hoping to do
I'm
it again.
Excited about the prospect of BYU going back to historic Allen Fieldhouse and having an opportunity to keep their versus Kansas and Big 12 unbeaten streak alive. Yeah.
No AC in that gym, by the way. It's 2025. Why don't we have air conditioning in that gym? What?
The Cincinnati West Virginia.
How dare you!
The Cincinnati West Virginia road trip is interesting again.
I don't like that that's on there again. By the way, it was funny yesterday when Kevin Young told us, I found out we were pregnant the day we played Cincinnati.
And we lost by 20.
Saying that's why we lost by 20, but I'm saying that's lost by 20.
Would you change
what was the bigger surprise? The news he got from home or that BYU lost convincingly?
Well, that was an interesting day. That was a wildly, emotionally erratic day for the Young family, no doubt about it. What would you change? I told you I'd make the slight change probably for Iowa State twice instead of Texas Tech. What
I'd
would you do?
I'd love Houston or Kansas as that other game.
Okay, so you're choosing Houston.
I want
two games.
Make it super tough. As we've learned from Chris Burgess and Kevin Young and others.
The schedule is not too hard, Jerem?
Well, when you have a team that people are talking about the Final Four, in football we never talked about, yes, this is a national championship contender. It's not even close to the same thing, yeah.
I say in jest partially, but this is.
But also, BYU was independent, and there was no point in scheduling tough. There really wasn't.
Okay.
In football, like, there's not a committee that rewards strength of schedule for 40 at-large bids in football. It's not even close to the same sort of situation. Also, did BYU get the number one football recruit in the country ever? No. This team can handle it, and if they have 7 or 8 losses, you know, there'll still be a 2 or 3 seed. That's the basketball rewards you for playing a strong schedule. Football does not. A lot of people just go, oh, Indiana only lost one game. They must be good.
Well, the SEC claims that playing a tough schedule is rewarded or should be more.
Was South Carolina and Ole Miss? Were they rewarded with 3 losses? They were not.
Alabama almost was.
But they weren't. Like, they don't reward you for the tough schedule in football. It's different. John Rothstein spent 3 minutes on BYU yesterday in his podcast. He reiterated BYU fans should expect nothing less than a Final Four with this team, as you heard at the top of the segment, highlighted by a strong opinion on Richie Saunders.
It feels like Richie Saunders, a proven commodity in all Big 12 first-team player, is a forgotten piece for the Cougars when people are talking BYU basketball entering next season. And this guy wasn't just somebody who was returning from a Sweet 16 team. This guy was a technician offensively in the NCAA tournament. 3 NCAA tournament games for Saunders. 22 points a game, 25 of 42 from the field, 5 of 12 from three, and was just an unbelievable offensive player last season. Made 79 threes, shot over 42% from three, and make no mistake about it, next season, Richie Saunders will be an all Big 12 first team caliber player, and I think a real candidate to be a first, second, or third team preseason All-American.
Okay, let's hone in on one piece there, because I agree with him for the most part. Do you think that Rich is a forgotten piece in this BYU roster?
In what world is where we need to determine this? Because in the BYU world, no. Richie Saunders is not forgotten at all. Like, he's forever the tater tot king. Frankly, for a lot of college basketball fans, they will associate Richie Saunders with tater tots and what he did in March Madness and how he burst onto the scene with the magnifying glass on him in that tournament with how well he played. Now, your typical college basketball fan outside of the Big 12, yeah, they're probably going to focus most of their attention on A.J. DiBonsa and BYU's NIL budget and maybe Rob Wright III and what BYU did to get even better at the point guard position in that regard. So that is understandable. A.J. DiBonsa is such a powerful name in the basketball world right now that he clearly will be the headliner for your typical basketball fan. And Richie is in his shadow to a degree in that realm. But in the world of just Big 12 basketball and BYU basketball, no. He is not forgotten. He is the beloved Richie Saunders tater tot king and will be forever. Yep. And isn't it wild that you listen to John Rothstein and you hear him say, Richie's a clear-cut top five player in the Big 12 going into next season. And yes, he's waiting on his fist by. He named four guys who will be surefire first team guys. And Rothstein's a guy that only puts five on his first team. It's not a 10 guy first team.
He said that, yeah.
So there's weight there.
I put 15 just to be very inclusive.
But A.J. DiBonsa is not on that list. Okay. Rob Wright III is not on the list. Only Richie Saunders. So in a roundabout way, Rothstein is saying Richie is the best player right now on BYU's roster.
Right. Five games in, we may look and go, that's clearly A.J. DiBonsa. Like, A.J. DiBonsa needs to be BYU's best player for BYU to go to the Final Four or make a massive run. I think he has to be. And if he lives up to the hype, certainly anything is possible for this BYU team. Adding to what you mentioned, if you watch the NCAA tournament, and you saw Richie go for 25 and 25 in his last two games, then you know this dude is a baller. Shot north of 50% in all three games in the NCAA tournament. Did you know he made his last 41 free throws? He was super clutch in so many games for BYU. Like, unbelievable streak of free throws he walks into the season with.
Didn't he shoot like 58% for the entire tournament?
He was unbelievable. Yeah, he was like 50, 51, and 71 or something. Against Alabama, we sort of forgot. He shot 71, 10 of 14 from the field, 25 points. Like, obviously, it got away from BYU. He is not forgotten. Maybe in random, I don't know, in the middle of Indiana, do they not know who Richie's in? I don't know. They don't know, but they're about to find out. It's a good point by John.
Yeah, yeah, it is interesting. With how good Richie is, because of what BYU's done with their roster in this new stratosphere of recruiting and A.J. DiBonsa, that somehow he is overshadowed. Like, that thought is wild.
He should be overshadowed by A.J. to me. Like, obviously, they work in tandem, though. It doesn't matter. We're not comparing light or shadow lengths here.
Do you think BYU with A.J. will have more than one all-Big 12 preseason first-team guy?
Yes, because it's a 10-player team.
Would you put him as the fifth on Rothstein's top five, A.J. DiBonsa?
I don't know, because I would like to think so, but there's a lot of good players, and Darren Peterson of Kansas is good, and there's other newcomers into the league that will be interesting. So, whatever. I don't get, as I've stated like all 4 days this week, I don't get too riled up over lists in the preseason anymore. So it's all good. I do believe Richie's one of the top 10 players in the league walking in for sure.
BYU, with Richie Saunders and A.J. DiBonsa and Rob Wright III and the rest of the crew, will face the toughest schedule in BYU basketball history in the approaching season. And part of that is the scheduling matrix. So let's go back to social media and get your opinions. Our question of the day, which game are you most excited about? And which game would you maybe rather have in the Marriott Center instead of playing on the road? At Ames Flames on X answers, as a BYU fan in Texas, I'm super stoked to go to Baylor. and see RW3, Robert Wright III, take it to his old homies. Let's go.
That is going to be a snake pit. Word is they fixed the camera angle. Did they fix it last year?
Yeah, they did.
It wasn't as steep?
No, it was way better last year.
Yeah, I wore like a neck brace to watch those games. Just preventative measure there. But I'm glad to hear that. That will be interesting. I would have thought that Darren Peterson versus A.J. DeBonta would have happened twice. I am surprised they didn't line that up.
Or maybe Houston, right?
Or Houston, yeah. To me, Kansas or Houston would have been very interesting. I want to see how BYU matches up with Houston. I really do. Because if BYU is going to be legit and make a run past the first weekend and into the third weekend, Spence, you got to beat a team like Houston at some point. And Houston's going to walk in probably preseason number one. So that's a good barometer for BYU. They get them in the Marriott Center, which would be awesome.
Cannot wait for that game. If you remember, and I know most of you do, 2 years ago, fantastic game.
Yes, that was a great
BYU game. BYU rally, shot at the end, didn't fall for Trevin Nell, and the Cougars in red walked out of Provo victorious. And everybody, maybe you have forgotten about what happened last year, but vengeance will be on the mind for the Cougars in blue.
Different looking BYU team.
Let's
go
around. Okay, let's call timeout on basketball just for a moment. And Broach.
Is that a challenge timeout or is that
No. This was an actual
timeout. Okay, just clarifying.
I signaled a regular timeout.
Just didn't see that.
Let's broach a professional football topic because Zach Wilson is back in the news. Joe Shad, who reports on the Miami Dolphins, recently released an article talking about how the Dolphins are very impressed with Zach, specifically his arm talent. As we cycle back on Zach, he is now brought in to back up Tua Tagovailoa. The quarterback's coach of note in Miami is Daryl Bevel, member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, former offensive coordinator for your Seattle Seahawks, who were world champions.
Don't want to talk about
when
the
he was. It's okay. He won a world championship at one point, right? Okay. Daryl is now coaching Zach in Miami. Do you feel like the Dolphins, all that considered, are a good fit for Zach at this point of his career?
I think Zach anywhere where he can play where there's a winning culture and opportunity for playing time is good. So no Jets, Browns, Raiders, Panthers. Those are the only four where I would go no. Everywhere else there's an opportunity if that starter's not entrenched, so they're a handful. The unfortunate reality with Tua is he has had massive concussion issues, and the backup has played quite a bit. You don't root for that for anybody. Tua, by all accounts, is an awesome dude, and you don't root for anyone to get hurt, but the reality is Zach probably will play at some point for Miami. So I'm excited for him. I like Mike McDaniel. I like his innovation. I like his youth. I like that he likes Zach. And so I'm excited. And, yeah, of course, that Daryl Bevel connection is cool too. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Hoping Zach has an opportunity and that he plays well when he gets a chance.
So Mike McDaniel credited Daryl Bevel in a large way for helping Tua Tagovailoa rediscover his mojo because it was gone after his rookie season. And he got beat up, and you've talked about the concussions, but his confidence was very low. And then in comes Daryl Bevel and kind of helps him rediscover that. And to quote Daryl, when I asked him about Zach, he said, "I'm excited again for a chance to help Zach get it back." And I love the fit. I think that he has the right people behind him. And Miami has a very specific plan for Zach. And they have to be ready for him to play, given what has happened with Tua.
Like you're one hit away.
You have
any backup is, but Tua's been especially prone to issues.
Yes,
for him.
So I do like that Zach is still in the AFC East too, and just maybe
that is a fun angle.
Would have a shot to face the New York Jets again.
And now it's new everybody, right? New GM, new coach. It's different. Same owner, but. An interesting.
I love that there is that potential.
And it's a division that's pretty wide open.
Outside of the Bills,
you have a chance to be that number two and
get in the playoffs.
In a wild card situation.
Yeah, outside of the Bills.
There's not a ton of divisions where you go, dude, like, if we're third, hopefully we get. No, you could absolutely be second and in the playoffs. Bills obviously have a stranglehold on the top of that, but there are other divisions where it's like, you don't want to be in that division.
Let's go. Zach Wilson and the Miami Dolphins.
We had fun of the 2014 Miami Dolphins game. Those we went to a
it's the Vikings.
Dolphins-Vikings game.
And then the fun. Miami Beach Bowl happened.
Yeah. I thought it was weird that you threw a punch. I thought
not
that was
as fun of a result.
Out of line, Spence.
Well, you were running your mouth, Kieran.
No, not to me. To them.
I'm kidding.
So Memphis, they were like, oh, Elvis is the greatest. And you're like, no, he's not. Imagine Dragons is. I thought that was super weird. Kidding. Coming up,
just to clarify, I didn't really throw a punch at Jerry.
It was more like a slap. Coming up tomorrow, join us for an encore presentation of 1984, 40 Years Strong and True, a two-hour special celebrating the 40-year anniversary of the 1984 BYU National Championship team. Watch it Friday, noon Eastern, on BYU TV.
Yes, great program. One of those backhanded slaps with a glove.
And I think it was Glenn Kozlowski that did it.
When we get back, former BYU basketball great Eric Mika gives us his thoughts on the scheduling matrix. Which change would he make to make the schedule even better? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Paid season in the history of BYU's basketball program.
I think obviously Houston, I think Texas Tech is a team that's good enough to make a run to the Final Four when healthy.
Just the beginning. That's what it feels like. Just the beginning.
When did you say that?
When did I say that? They cut together these music videos. It's like, it was 3 days ago at the 32-minute mark of the show.
Just the beginning.
For BYU basketball?
Yeah,
like probably. For Kevin Young? Yeah. I believe it was the Sweet 16 and what he did there was nice. Just
it
the
sounded
beginning.
Like it was remote. Were we in Newark for that?
Maybe? Just, yeah. Might have been. Nice. We are live now in Studio B.
Oh, hey, what's
this
up?
This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Earlier this morning, I spoke with former BYU basketball big man Eric Mika to get his thoughts on the Big 12 scheduling matrix. And is he ready to say that BYU has to get to the Elite Eight or it's a bust? Eric Mika on BYU Sports Nation. Eric, I can't think of a better person to break down the Big 12 schedule matrix as it pertains to BYU than you, because I know you bring some strong opinions. So at first glance,
I appreciate that.
What was the best thing about the schedule release and who BYU will play and maybe the teams they'll play twice? Just your immediate reaction, the best thing.
Yeah, I mean, my eyes immediately went to who we're playing twice, like I think most people do, you know. If you talk to the staff right now about, you know, their obsession with quad one wins, and not just our staff, but staffs across the country, and making sure that not only are you, you know, at the right record at the end of the year, but also against the right teams. You know, I love seeing that we have Texas Tech twice, you know, one, you know, because of those reasons I just listed, they're a talented team. They're coming off a really successful year. It bodes well for our, you know, tournament seeding and how deep we can go if we can get those guys once, and, you know, twice means we're a really, really good team. And then two, you know, there's a little bit of a payback feeling, right? Like we want to go get those guys. We felt like we had them last year and then it didn't happen, right? So I love that we're playing them twice. That's a talented team. And then also just because it's Utah, like it matters that we play them twice, you know, like you want to keep that rivalry alive and fueled and fresh. And so, you know, that's kind of a no brainer that was going to happen, but I'm glad it did. Like, I don't know how these things work nowadays, right? Like with the conference schedule being expanded in general and just all the shifts that are constantly happening in college sports. You wonder if sometimes things like that fall to the wayside. You know, people are worried that, quote unquote, like traditional college sports are dissolving in a couple different ways. But that rivalry is important to me. It's important to the school. It's important to the state. And so I'm glad that we nailed that down. I'm glad we have Texas Tech on there. And I mean, just you go down the list. It's what we've been saying for a couple of years now. The Big 12 is exciting. It's fun. You look at every single one of these names and, you know, Houston coming to town, that's awesome, right? That's going to be so, so fun. It's going to be a great test for our guys. It'll be super interesting to see, you know, not only what we put on the floor compared to last year, but I'm sure there was a concerted effort and a real conscious decision-making process on how do we beat Houston, right? They're the top dog. They went to the final. Like, they're kind of like the level that we want to be at, right? So, you know, I can't wait to see how we match up against those guys. And, yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Every single game is exciting. I called out a couple of them, but you know, just looking forward to it. Every time there's an update like this, you just feel like the season is more and more concrete, which is fun.
Eric Mika is on BYU Sports Nation. We're discussing BYU's Big 12 schedule matrix. You talked about the things that you like and those rivalries that matter so much, and budding rivalries for that matter. But would you change anything about BYU's schedule? Maybe remove an opponent or remove one of the teams that BYU plays twice in lieu of something else or some other team?
Remind me, who's the third team that – is it three or four teams that we play twice?
So it's three. It's Utah, it's Arizona, and it's Texas Tech.
No, I mean, part of you goes, man, Texas Tech twice, Arizona twice. Like, those are four really, really hard games. Not to diminish Utah, but, like, you expect to at least split there. Just with the track record, with the momentum those programs have, with their coaches – you know, they're at a really great level, right? And you know, splitting with Arizona in the fashion that we did last year, them kind of coming in, and I was at that game, and I thought Arizona looked like a Final Four team, and they definitely had the ability to go to the Final Four. I think they were built in a really, really nice way. But then we looked so good when we were down in Arizona, right? And winning in the fashion that we did was super exciting. So, you know, part of you goes, and I'd be interested to talk to some fans. My gut tells me some people might say, man, that seems a little harsh to play those teams and have, you know, four guaranteed really, really difficult games. You know, but then the other part of me is like, well, that's the point, right? Like, that's what we're trying to build here. That's what KY wants. That's why, you know, that's why we're scheduling the preseason in the way that we are as well, is because we feel like we're going to be at that level. You know, we should be beating these teams on a regular basis with the roster we have, and we have tools and pieces that can get the job done. So I don't know. There's kind of a split reaction. I don't know if I want to say, like, yeah, give me, you know, whoever came in last year and whoever came in 13th and then whoever came in 9th, that's who I want to play twice. Like, part of you as a fan is like, hey, that would be nice, because you're going, let's just get to the tournament. Let's have the right seed. And then let's win big games when you have to. But I don't know. I you know, knowing what I know about KY and Justin and the rest of the staff, like, I think they're built for it. I think they'd much rather have, you know, this kind of a schedule versus, you know, quote unquote fluff schedule. They're so into the analytics. It's insane. I mean, I've met with a couple times the last couple of weeks, Justin, but then also Akash Sebastian, who's their data analytics guy. And he is like breaking down, you know, every quad one win and every quad one, you know, preseason matchup and why they want it, why they like it, why it plays to, you know, their strengths. And then you hear, you know, on my podcast, on your guys' show, I've heard a couple of the coaches and staff members talking about, like, hey, like, here's the reality. Like, we looked at seeding and we looked at what those teams did in conference. We looked at what those teams did, you know, in their non-conference schedules and who they beat, who they didn't beat, who they split with. And it's crazy how scientific it feels. And so that's why I kind of feel like this staff is excited about who we're playing, you know, who's coming to Provo, who we're playing twice. Because they're mad scientists up there. Like, they're going to find a way to spin, you know, whatever schedule they're given. But, you know, those four games in particular, I'm like, they're probably circling those going, man, like, we get those four done and we're in an unbelievable spot. Right.
The great Eric Mika is on BYU Sports Nation, former BYU basketball star, current BYU basketball analyst. Okay. I have to ask, and I think I know how you're going to answer this question based on some personal experiences, but outside of Utah, who is BYU's best or maybe your favorite rival outside of the Cougars and Utes in Big 12 play?
Yeah, I think you said budding rivalries, but I've had a bone to pick with these guys forever. And like you said, you knew that. So I do think Iowa State is great. I joke about, you know, losing my eyeball against them and how that has a little has a little bit added meaning for me. But I do think outside of us playing them in 2013, I mean, obviously that was cool. But like, man, when we went there and again, the way we won and the way that they came back and just – it was straight out of a movie, right? And I just think, you know, they've been a very, very strong program for a long time. And I feel like even then, they've been elevated in the last couple of years. And whether there's some correlation to NIL, I don't know. I haven't looked into it that deeply. But I just kind of feel like we're both on this upward trajectory, despite the great history that both schools have. Like, we're you know, shifting into this kind of elite you know, round table, you know, every single year we're expected to be here, you know, this higher level, kind of these elevated expectations for both programs. And because the games have gone the way they have in recent history, I think that's a budding rivalry. And I'm glad it's with them. You know, they're another top dog. They're another, you know, high finisher in the league. I think, I don't know what Kansas fans would say, but that might not be a rivalry as much as they're just kind of annoyed and sick of us. You know? like that might be a one-way rivalry right now, but obviously that's another storied in history, great history behind that program. And so I could, you know, I could see that one kind of becoming a solidified one, but yeah, for now I'd go with Iowa State, which is awesome.
BYU is projected by many national analysts as a preseason top five, top six team. Now, that's a loaded conversation in and of itself. But given that backdrop, Eric, in your opinion, what's the minimum threshold for success for a BYU team that is going to start in the top 10 somewhere? And with guys like John Rothstein saying, BYU is a legitimate Final Four contender. So what's the minimum level of success for this current roster and team?
Yeah, it's a super loaded question. Again, there's like this double-sided sword where it's like you love the hype. You love what that's done for our preseason scheduling and the confidence and the momentum that you feel, you know, as a team going into seasons like this. On the other side of that, very equally and very strong is this presence of that's added pressure, right? Like I do feel like 2 years ago with Coach Pope's team, man, we outperformed our expectations by double, right? Like at least. And then, you know, Coach Young, I know there were still high expectations, but it was still a young team. It was still a new program. There were still a lot of question marks. It started in a and not like a rocky way, but in a slower than everyone expected way. And then we crushed it, right? So I kind of like the you know, underdog bet against us. No one's expecting us. And then we come in and take it from everyone, you know, mentality and flexibility. But because we don't have that, you know, we're very much not under the radar with these names and with this schedule and with these expectations, you know, being put on by analysts. I feel like, and I'm not typical, I'm not like other fans, I'm not going, if we don't make it to the Final Four, it's a waste of a year, or even to the Sweet 16. You know, I feel like a storied program, you know, a dynasty, if you will. You look at like a Gonzaga, right? Like, what have they done year in and year out? You know, they win their conference. You know, they go to the Sweet 16, right? Going past the Sweet 16 is so hard, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you have continuity and on your roster. It doesn't matter if you have the most NIL money. It doesn't matter if you have all these things. It's still kind of a crapshoot when you get there, right? Like, that is why March Madness is March Madness. That's why everyone loves it. That's why it's so exciting, is because it's hard to do. It's hard to win multiple games. And so, for me, I hate to say this because I, you know, it's Gonzaga, right? But like, that is the level that I think we want to be at, right? And it's not all going to happen in 1 year. So I'm not going, if we don't make it to the Final Four or Elite Eight this year, then I'm disappointed. And maybe even the Sweet 16, but I want to see progress towards, you know, perennial conference, you know, top two finishes. and Sweet 16 becomes the norm, right? So, like I said, if that all happens in 2 years and we go to the Sweet 16 again, then obviously that means we're getting to that kind of consistency quickly. But I don't think it's a failure if we don't, right? Like, I just want to take steps towards both those things. And there's a lot of things that feed into that. But obviously, you want to be a top five finisher in the Big 12. You know, again, let's take a step forward. Let's be a top three finisher. That would be an awesome step, in my opinion, because you still have the Houstons. You still have the Iowa States. You still have the Kansases. You still have the Baylor. Like, all these programs are out for blood as well, right? So, you know, I think if we're top three finisher in the Big 12, and if we make it to the Sweet 16 again, I'm going to be super, super happy as a fan, because that means we're going to experience a lot of fun this year, right? Like, it's going to be highs and lows no matter what, but that means we did some pretty cool things. Anything on top of that is gravy. And I do agree with everyone. There is a lot of potential to go above and beyond those things. I don't want to say it's a failure if we don't, right?
Eric, great stuff. Dare I say, because you speak Italian, bellissimo on your takes today, my friend.
You dare say it. I love it. That's good. I'm mad you went and I wasn't there. That's okay.
We're going to Italy together next time. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate the time, brother.
Thanks, Spence. Great to see you.
Eric Mika, always awesome. If you missed any of our interviews or episodes, Deep Blues and more, you can catch them all at BYUSN.com or the free BYU TV app.
After the break, the latest from BYU track and field at historic Hayward Field in Oregon and Nationals. Plus, which BYU athlete will represent the Y on a worldwide stage? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan, and these are your Thursday headlines.
Men's basketball scheduling matrix is out. BYU plays Arizona, Utah, Texas Tech, Colorado, Iowa State, TCU, Houston, UCF, and Arizona State at home in Big 12 play. On the road, Arizona, Utah, Texas Tech, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Baylor, and for a third year in a row, West Virginia.
The BYU women's basketball schedule matrix also out. BYU plays Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, Baylor, Cincinnati, Iowa State, TCU, Texas Tech, and West Virginia at home. The Cougars will play Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Houston, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and UCF on the road.
What do you think of it?
I like it. I'm excited to watch Lee Kamard and his crew go to work in year one of this revamped staff. Like, I feel like this team has a great shot to finish better than the 11th or 12th place they finished in the last 2 years.
They almost beat top five Kansas State on the road last year. That is road again. I was hoping that'd be at home.
At Oklahoma State is a date to circle.
Amari Whiting's there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That'll be a fun reunion. How about three BYU athletes earned All-American recognition for their performances in the NCAA Championships in track and field, including first-team recognition for Danny Bryant in the shot put, took sixth overall. We'll talk to him coming up. Creed Thompson, first-teamer, eighth-place finish in the 10K. And Joey Noakes, second-team All-American for his 14th-place finish in the 10K. Congratulations. They continue competing the next couple of days.
More track and field news as the men's 4x400 team has qualified for the finals for the first time in a decade. James Corgan also qualified for the finals in the steeplechase. Not a shocker. Those finals take place tomorrow. Of note, the women's team begins competition today at 6 Eastern. Coverage on ESPN.
Oh, dude, you're not doing anything? Throw that on in the background.
So fun.
It's hard not to watch everything that's going on. It's fantastic. Women's volleyball freshman Suli Davis has made the 12-player roster to represent Team USA's U19 team. The team set to compete in the World Championships July 2nd through the 13th in Croatia and Serbia. Congratulations to the incoming freshman, Suli Davis.
Superstar.
I'm excited to watch your play this fall, man.
Speaking of volleyball, Gabi Garcia Fernandez had 10 kills in a loss in a sweep to Ukraine yesterday in the Volleyball Nations League for United States Volleyball. And how do you say it, Jeremy? Rio de Janeiro.
Yep.
The Americans play Iran tonight at 8 Eastern.
Where are you running? Former golfer Zach Blair is currently competing in the U.S. Open. If you want to see more on that, you can just look at Spencer's shirt. He finished the first round in 35th with a score of 4 over. That's pretty good. Given how tough Oakmont is, as we've talked about, tournament will continue through Sunday.
When we come back, two-time first-team All-American shot putter Danny Bryant joins the program to discuss his most recent performance at Nationals. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Dude, this dude is jacked.
That was an amazing feeling. I was super happy. Man, it's just cool to be like a part of legacy here at BYU. During those 2 seconds, it is wild the thoughts that go through your head. And on the last row, I think to myself, just put it all out there.
An All-American once again, Danny Bryant. You just saw there rocking it in the shot put. Welcome back to BYU Sports Station live from Studio B. If you missed it earlier, he finishes sixth place in the shot put at the Outdoor NCAA Championships.
First team All-American.
And he joins us now. Danny, congratulations on doing it again as a first-teamer.
Thank you.
How do you feel now that the buildup and the pressure and the actual competition is over and you've had time to assess your performance?
I feel good about it, about everything that I was able to accomplish at this meet. It's just a good feeling to know that I put it all out there for my last collegiate meet, and it just feels really good.
I read that it was the first attempt. You went 19.17 meters, 64.8. How'd that one feel? How'd that throw feel?
And I was really amped in the warm-up, not going to lie. I was trying to kind of hold back a little bit and not just waste it all and be the warm-up champ. So I'm glad I left a little bit left in the tank for my first throw because it ended up being my best one. So,
what were you listening to? What did you eat before? And was it Creed?
Creed is good.
Yes,
I wasn't
it is.
Listening to anything, though. I was kind of just locked in, really quiet and just in the zone. It just helps me stay focused, and that's the way I do it.
Is there like some pre-workout to get you going? Like, how do you get going before? Is it all natural?
There's a little pre-workout before, and get stretched out by the trainers. We've got some good athletic trainers, and they get me right, so that's always nice.
Danny Bryant is with us on BYU Sports Nation. He is now a two-time first-team All-American in the shot put. Outstanding work. What are the nerves like and the atmosphere of Hayward Field with all of the history that goes into that place as you prepare for something like this?
Yeah, there's definitely magic at Hayward. It's one of the coolest stadiums I've ever been able to compete in. The atmosphere is great. The competition is amazing, top tier. The nerves are definitely there, and it's just so mental. You have to learn how to control it and just really channel it into that precise moment during the throw so that good things happen.
What makes it so special there at Hayward Field? Obviously, it's amazing, and Phil Knight's kind of crown jewel. But Michael Jordan might be that, actually. But what makes it so special?
Like I was saying, I think it's just the atmosphere, the big stadium. People come to watch track at Hayward Field and just cheer athletes on. And it's really unique, and it's a really special place just because of that. And the competition is, top tier.
What would you say about BYU track and field overall as an entire unit and the momentum that they have rolling right now?
Oh, yeah, we're a stacked team, that's for sure. Our distance guys are doing great. Our multis are killing it, and Ben Barton and Jaden. Good things are going to happen in the future with track and field for sure. We've got a bright future. The coaches know what they're doing, and just really grateful for all of them, and just for the good relationships that we all have as teammates. It's a really special thing.
How would you summarize your career? You win 27 competitions. You're a two-time All-American. You're one of the best to ever do it at BYU. How would you summarize how it went now that it's over?
Man, it was great. It was awesome. I've loved my time at BYU. It's nothing will compare to it. Very grateful for my coaches and for my teammates, for all them pushing me. I'm grateful just to have this opportunity to be at BYU, and I'm grateful that Heavenly Father's blessed me with this unique talent to be able to throw the shot put and do it well. I'm grateful for that.
When did you realize that you liked shot put?
I started my freshman year of high school, and that was kind of when I was like, this is a chill sport. I can lift in the weight room and eat as much as I want. Sounds good to me.
When did you start throwing things then, prior to your freshman year of high school? When were you like, oh, I can throw heavy things far?
I mean, I just been throwing footballs and that's about it. So kind of transferred it into a big 16-pound metal ball.
The natural transition. Everyone feels very, very comfortable, natural. Right? Yeah, exactly.
He is Danny Bryant. He is a two-time outdoor first-team All-American in the shot put. It is official after his sixth-place finish at Nationals. We need to bring up the fact that BYU football just signed a pretty good shot putter and, yeah, football player in McKay Mattson. He broke a long-standing CIF record there in the state of California. What did you see from him in his shot put effort and those numbers as a senior in high school that has you the most impressed?
Oh, that kid's explosive. He is built like a tank. He's going to be an animal when he comes here. I'm very excited for him and his football career. And we're all hoping that he comes over to track and field and throws for us a little bit too, because it'll be fun to see what he can do.
Now, wait a minute. I'm reading here that he threw 69-11.
Yeah.
Would that have competed for the national championship in the shot put? What was the first place distance?
What was first place? Was it 69-11 who that won yesterday? I think it might have been.
You're telling me he could hang at the top of the sport right now?
I mean, he's throwing the 12 pound. We throw 16.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah, okay. I was like, tell me what I'm missing. You're saying in high school they throw a 12 pound, in college you throw a 16?
Yeah, it's a little bigger, so it takes a little bit more time
get this guy now to Eugene?
Oh, I know, right?
16. Okay, but still, you're saying this guy's legit.
Oh, he's legit. Yeah, he's fun to be around. He's a nice guy, super humble.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
He looks like like Mr. California. The blonde hair, for sure. The good looks, the strength, the speed, the kindness. This guy's going to be Mr. BYU. I think they used to do that back in the day. Mr. BYU, you should have competed for Mr. BYU. I saw you went on your mission to Auckland, New Zealand. Did they ever try and entice you to play rugby? Because I could see you as an excellent rugby player.
I did play a little rugby, actually.
Nice. A little touch rugby on preparation day?
What's up?
Little touch rugby on preparation day?
Oh, for sure. Turn to tackle real quick.
Oh, boy.
Hey, this ain't the safety zone. We're not telling anybody, dude. We're
Situational
good.
Awareness, Danny.
Hey, obey the rules. All good, dude. If you're Mr. President, chill.
It was the state president.
He got a little fired up, so I got a little fired up.
That's
awesome.
Right.
And then I saw your uncle is Todd Herget. That means your cousin is Tyler Herget, the setter for BYU. Are you guys the best cousin athlete duo on campus right now? Have you thought about this?
I guess so. We'd like to think so. No, I'm just kidding.
Pretty good duo.
Yeah, he's killing it. It's fun to see him succeed too.
Now that's a unique dynamic. We'll have to examine the cousin duos, because there are some outstanding cousin duos for BYU football right now.
Sorry to the Polynesian community. We need it to be first cousin. Okay.
To verify
it can't
that.
Just be so-and-so. We got to line that up. We got to see the family tree app. Okay.
Danny, congratulations once again on becoming a first-team All-American for the second time. Outstanding career to you, and we're thrilled for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Danny Bryant on BYU Sports Nation from Eugene, Oregon.
I can't have Raider DeMooney going, Keanu Tanuvasa is my guy. Well, that's going to be hard to beat. That's pretty good.
What's verified? What is verified?
Listen, if they come and challenge me on that, I will just acquiesce because I don't want any trouble. You're right. Coming up tomorrow, join us for an encore presentation of 1984, 40 Years Strong and True, a two-hour special celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1984 BYU National Championship team. Watch it tomorrow at noon Eastern right here on BYU TV.
After the break, what do you like most about BYU's scheduling matrix for men's hoops in the Big 12, and what would you maybe change? Stay with us on BYUSN.
I changed the name. It's pretty nerdy.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. It centers on the Big 12 basketball scheduling matrix. Which games are you most excited about for BYU hoops, and which would you rather have maybe not on the road but in the Marriott Center? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from @Quiot on X, who says, most exciting would be Houston in the Marriott Center.
Yep.
BYU wants to beat the Red Cougars. I'd like to see Kansas at the Marriott Center again to continue the streak. Why not continue it in Allen Field?
Yeah, we can.
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Maddie Alfenwhite is one of the best videographers in the country. We love her. BYU Athletics social media team. She was named Videographer of the Year. Congratulations.
I guarantee.
College Sports Comps.
Yes, I guarantee you've enjoyed her content.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks to today's guests.
Sorry, Jen.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Daniel Summerhays. Go Cougs.